Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. As Dr. Billy Graham said years ago, the power is not in the preacher. The power is in the gospel. As I continue to preach the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign, and as we deal with the authority of Christ and what to do with your doubts. The authority of Christ and what to do with your doubts. Part 1, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 927, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1286, since January the 1st, 2016. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And please know there is always a part of you that does not want to worship. There's always a part of you that does not want to read the Bible. There's always a part of you that does not want to pray. There's always a part of you that does not want to hear the preaching of the word. There's a part of you that always thinks all of that is boring and stifling. And there's always a part of you that thinks that you could be doing something much more fun. And that part of you is called the flesh. And that part of you, by the grace of God and through prayer and through the word of God, needs to die daily. And you need to pray and ask God to fill you with his Holy Ghost. So that, because that part will want to worship God and read God's word and pray and so forth. So before you settle in into your little boredom look, which is typical of a juvenile individuals, you need to pray and ask God to crush and crucify your flesh. The old man within you, which is never excited about the things of God. And that's the struggle and the battle that you deal with every day. Every day. It's easy to swing by Chick-fil-A. We like doing that. It's easy to go to the movies on Friday night. It's easy to socialize with somebody we're interested in. And socializing with, is easy to get on social media and lie about how happy you are. It's easy to lay back or sit back and watch a football game when you're the one who needs the exercise. Your flesh does not even want to exercise either. Anything that's good for you, like eating vegetables, the flesh does not want it. Exercising, the flesh does not want it. There's a battle on the inside of you, as the Bible tells us, between the flesh and the spirit. And you better let this, you better make sure the spirit wins, otherwise you're not going to be a victorious, happy, cheerful Christian. Now, this is all free, has nothing to do with the sermon. I have not even read the passage yet. But you better get that, otherwise you're never going to feel like serving God. You'll always be frustrated and bitter if you don't get a hold of that. And so Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, the Bible reads, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John, that is John the Baptist, had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that would come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John. He was very compassionate towards John. Show John again those things which ye do hear and see. He didn't answer John's question directly. Just focus on the works, and you answer your own question. Is God with us, Emmanuel? The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Go back and tell John that again. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. You just remind John of that. As someone said, John was and is the GOAT, greatest of all time as far as men are concerned. Jesus Christ basically said that. You just tell John, I don't have to answer him directly. You just repeat those works that I'm doing. And John can figure it out. Verse 6, And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Holy Father God in heaven, we are weak and feeble. And Lord, I know that there are many who are with me today who don't like to admit that, but we are. And so, Lord, help all of us to lay aside our pride and even our Pharisaic style pride. Help us to lay aside, Lord, our arrogancy. And help us to admit that we are weak and feeble in this world without you. Because you created us and you had to redeem us. So you've done everything for us of all importance. Anyway, so have mercy and grace upon us. Lord, we need you every hour. Lord, even grown men. And this is why even Tua, in a losing effort, kept giving you the glory when he did something good. Because he knows, being a Christian, that he needs you even to play football. Lord, we can't do it without you. I know the world does not like that. I know the world doesn't want to hear it. But even they, when their lives are overwhelmed, they call out to you for help. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Even as Christians, the emotions of sins in us, forgive us of our sinfulness, our wretchedness. And I pray that you wash and cleanse our hearts and minds and souls and spirits and consciences in the precious blood of Christ, afresh and anew. Crush and crucify our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh, the old man within us, afresh and anew. That part of us that does not want to worship you. That part of us that does not want to acknowledge you, that part of us that does not want to pray, that part of us that does not want to read your holy word, much hear it preached, much less rather hear it preached. That part of us that does not want to sing the songs of Zion, but it recognizes and gets into the groove real quick when it hears one of the songs of the flesh, the songs, secular songs, that we love so much in our flesh. We don't mind eating. That part of us does not mind eating, and that part of us does not mind pleasure. But it hates worshiping you. Crush and crucify our flesh. That part of us that does not want to preach or hear preaching or do preaching or obeying your holy word. Lord, crush and crucify our evil flesh within us. Break the band of wickedness and evil and sin in our lives. Fill us with the fullness, the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Ghost. And Lord, let your will be done. Not only from this pulpit and in this pulpit, but Lord, in the hearts and minds of the hundreds gathering around right now as I speak. And only you do that. I have nothing to do with it. I have not really pushed it. But we thank you for the hundreds and the thousands throughout the week who come by and hear this poor preacher preach and say amen to all of their likes and hearts and loves and all of the stuff that they send. And in the end, Holy Father God, we pray for over 3 million souls to be saved, for we know that you're not willing that any should perish through this ministry alone, and we pray for millions more to be saved, Lord, through other ministries today, by the power of your anointing, by the power of your grace and your Holy Spirit. Lord, have your Holy Spirit not give people rest in this country and around the globe until they repent and trust Christ as Savior. We also pray for over 3 million Christians at the preaching from this pulpit and the praying from around the clock, almost, Lord, here, that 3 million Christians would be revived once again and get back to you, their first love. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy son, Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John MacArthur. The great pastor and prophet in our nation, who has stood firm on the word of God for many years without compromise. And Dr. John MacArthur said, in our selfishness, ignorance, and failure to see the whole plan of God, and in our constant problem of getting tied down to this passing world, some of us doubt God. And as some doubt that he cares and loves us, and we lose our job or something like that, and we just start questioning God. Now, I told you all that only white people question God, and only white people have doubts. I've never had any doubts about God. I've never questioned God about anything. I have no questions. Now, that may be just me. There might be some black folks who have questions for God and who doubt God. But I know for sure it's only white folks who say, I'm mad at God. That you will not hear that from black folk. But be that as it may, Dr. MacArthur continues, well, John doubted because of difficult circumstances. And I understand that. He said, I understand that. But you know what he did? He did the right thing with his doubt. He went immediately to the Lord. That's the place to go if you have doubts over those kinds of things. Go to the Lord about it. Now, one thing that I do know for everybody, black and white alike, whatever's going on in your heart and mind, God would and the Lord would prefer you to go to Him and don't go out there in the world complaining against Him, talking about you mad at God and all that foolishness. He wants you to go to Him. Now, he doesn't mind. I'm sure He wouldn't mind. I would never say it, but I'm sure He would not mind you coming to Him and telling Him the truth if you are, in fact, mad at God of the universe with your bad self. I would never tell God that because I don't have those kind of feelings in my heart towards God. But if you do, it's best to go to Him. If you're in straits and you're having doubts, go to Him. Anyway, one Sunday afternoon, a man and his wife were taking a short walk when they were overtaken by a storm. They took shelter in a neighboring church where they found a special service for Sunday school scholars in progress. The pastor was teaching the children and asked, "What is a miracle, everyone? What is a miracle?" A little girl put up her hand and replied, "Something we can't do, but Jesus can." Something we can't do, but Jesus can. And by the way, that's why Jesus told John's disciples, "Tell him the miracles that I'm performing." I'm not going to answer him directly. Just go back and tell him and remind him of what I'm doing. That I'll let him know that I am God. I am the Messiah. By way of a brief introduction, Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck of Dallas Theological Seminary, with these words of instruction, Jesus departed to teach and preach in Galilee, with the 12 having received delegated authority from the Lord. It may be assumed that they departed and carried out Jesus' instructions, and that is to go and to preach, as Jesus Christ was doing. And allow me to say here at this point, it is a shame before God how that we have preachers today who do not want to preach anymore. They want to have plays and movies and videos and everything else. And slowly but surely, the evangelical church is being moved away from the simple foolishness of preaching. But I'm here to tell you, there's still great power in the simple preaching of the Word of God and the proclaiming of the gospel. As I mentioned earlier, Dr. Billy Graham said, the power is in the gospel. It is not in us. The power is in the word. And if we want to see revival in the church and lost souls saved, we need to get back to simply preaching the word of God in season and out of season. And right now, it is probably out of season. But I would encourage every preacher, every pastor, every evangelist, every teacher to get back to proclaiming the gospel and preaching the word with your own mouth. Not through a video, not through a movie, not through a play. But proclaiming the gospel and preaching the word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you'll be amazed at what God will do. And then you may not see a whole lot of fruit. But I guarantee you that God is doing something through his preached word. So don't quit. Dr. Walver goes on, the words after Jesus had finished instructing indicate another turning point in the book. Matthew had recorded that John the Baptist had been put in prison. The cause for his imprisonment was stated by Matthew later. When John heard of all Jesus was doing, he sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And may I add here, even though Jesus called John the goat, the greatest of all time, as far as men go, John the Baptist is displaying a little weakness here. "Yeah, I hear about you doing all these miracles out here, Jesus. And I was supposed to be your forerunner, but I'm sitting in prison. What's up? Let me talk to you." "Let me ask you some questions here now," because I didn't think this was going to be quite like this. "You're doing all of these wonderful things and I'm sitting in prison. I thought I ought to be your front man and out front and paving the way for you." And Dr. Walvin and Dr. Zuck continue, "The words, the one who was to come, are a messianic title based on Psalms 40, verse 7, and 118, verse 26. John must have thought, if I am the Messiah's forerunner, and Jesus is the Messiah, why am I in prison? What's up with that?" John needed reassurance and clarification, for he had expected the Messiah to overcome wickedness, judge sin, and bring in his kingdom. Jesus Christ did not answer John with a direct yes or no. Instead, he told John's disciples, "Go back and report to John what they heard and saw taking place." Among the notable events occurring were the blind being given sight. How about that, John? Lame people started walking. How about you, John? Lepers being cured. You've done your job, John. I'm here now. Emmanuel, God with us. Am I the Messiah, John? The death hearing. Where are you, John? The dead being given life. How about that, John? And the good news being preached to the poor. Ladies and gentlemen, these works would, of course, indicate that Jesus indeed is the Messiah. Those who did not miss the true character of the Lord would be truly blessed. Though he will ultimately bring judgment to this world by judging sin when he brings in his kingdom. The timing then was not appropriate. Israel's rejection of him was causing a postponement in establishing the physical kingdom. If you will. But all, including John, who truly perceived the person and work of Christ, would be blessed. Now, beloved, after directing his disciples, preparing his disciples, and setting the example in front of them as to how they should live and preach the gospel, Jesus set out to continue preaching the gospel himself. He was not a preacher who would tell others to preach, and he didn't preach. Soon he was met by the disciples of John the Baptist, who wanted to know if he was truly the Messiah. Jesus responded by pointing to his works. They were works which no man could have done. No mere man could have done them. Even John the Baptist couldn't do them. Only God could heal the sick like that, and infirm, and raise the dead. Only God would preach the gospel, or have the gospel preached to the poor, who some religious hypocrites would have foolishly thought something of such great value should be presented to the up and out rather than the down and out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you read this passage, one of the most interesting things and one of the most striking things about this passage is the question and seeming doubt of the great, the goat, John the Baptist. So before we move on throughout this passage, let's stop here a minute and then we'll close. Let's look at overcoming doubt. Allow me to share with you what Dr. Chris Miller said about it. He said, John the Baptist is struggling here. Have you ever been there? And I'm adding that, where you're struggling. Things are not clear. And you're even having some doubts. I do not have that experience like that, but I understand many do. Perhaps with good reason. Imagine the scene. John has been sitting in a small prison cell for approximately a year. His disciples were talking with John about the rumors of the great work that Jesus Christ was doing. he was healing folks who suffered from a variety of diseases and illnesses. He was having compassion on people, and he was approaching individuals with a tender touch. And as John was looking through the bars of his jail cell, basically he was saying, "Where is my tender touch from the Master? Where is my compassion?" It seemed Jesus was not bringing any judgment to the world that John the Baptist probably was thinking he was going to do, especially to the corrupted official, political figure that imprisoned him for nothing. Jesus is not acting in the way John thought the Messiah would. So he was perplexed. So he begins to show a little doubt. He begins to wonder if Jesus is the Messiah who was to come, and what a striking and blunt statement, or if someone else will be coming. And I don't know, but this is probably the reason why Jesus did not respond directly. Because of how this question was put. So first, ladies and gentlemen, we must go into prayer to the Lord. This is the first step to overcome your doubt, your despair, your dissatisfaction, your discomfort, your concern. Go to prayer. Pray and ask the Lord. That's what John the Baptist was doing. The first key for handling doubts we find in this passage is taking our doubts directly to the Lord. John's doubts are real. And I understand that there are many Christians who have doubts, and they're real. And because of their doubts, they're depressed, they're in despair. They're discouraged. There may be some in this room who are having doubts now. Some of you around the world listening to me, you're having doubts because you're facing certain circumstances. John doesn't try to hide his doubts, like so many people, or hide himself from the Lord, or run away from the Lord. Or get mad at the Lord. He does just the opposite. He goes right to Jesus with the question, "What's up? I hear about all of the compassion and love you're showing towards others and the miracles that you're working for others. If you don't mind, can you come by and do a miracle and get me out of this jail cell, as I am your forerunner? I'm your advance man. Can you work a miracle for me? Can you show compassion on me? Hey, Jesus, don't forget me now. I'm the one who said you are the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world." We can even say today, ladies and gentlemen, that John's question was blunt, very abrupt. "Are you the Messiah, or is someone else coming? Somebody needs to tell me something, because I'm in a low moment here, in jail for nothing, being your forerunner. Remember now, Jesus, I baptized you. What's up? I don't like being in jail. Nobody does. So while you're showing so much love and compassion to others, and you're not condemning the wicked like I thought you would, swing by here and show me some compassion. See, that's how many of us are today. And that's how so many of us as Christians we are today. Don't forget about me, Jesus. That's probably the reason why the man wrote the song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Don't forget about me. I've been serving you faithfully, Lord. And it seems like you're working miracles for the heathen, and you're blessing them, and you're showing compassion towards them, but I've been serving you for 20 years. My life's getting ready to be cut off. My roof is leaking. I'm threatened with lawsuits for no reason. The tax man cometh, and I don't have the tax man's money. By the way, pray for the man who paid all his taxes up except for $8.41, and they still came by and took his house and kept the profit from selling the house. You know that's the devil is a lie. But yet, Lord, I don't feel any compassion my way. I've been serving you for 20 years faithfully. I pray every hour, Lord, as you know. I read the word of God, Lord. I'm living by your grace a clean life, Lord. Yet I'm catching hell. Lord, don't forget me. I see you bless so-and-so, young lady in the church, not even married. She has 3 children. And Lord, I can't have one. And I've been faithful to you, Lord. What's up? Am I believing in the right one, or is there coming another? What a question to ask Jesus. People who are devilish in the church, preachers who have been divorced 3 or 4 times, Lord. Preachers who have girlfriends, been caught, and have stolen money. And I've been faithful down here in Podunk, down at the Church of the Veil. I'm only running 8 people, and half of them are my family. But I've been preaching the word of God faithfully. Lord, what's up? And we can barely gather enough money to buy beans. Not even the mixed bean pack. Just a bean. We can't even have dessert. Not one day a week. And they're living up on Pork Chop Hill in a mansion. They have servants and everything else. Lord, what about me? Have I wasted my life serving you? The heathen, the wicked in the church seem like they're being blessed all around, and I'm down here in Podunk in the valley with 8 people, and then half of them don't come to church. And don't tithe and don't give. Lord, our offering was a grand total today of $5.50. What's up? Should I look for another? And so this question, ladies and gentlemen, is to the point. It is not hidden. It is not veiled. John the Baptist was not playing. And you know this is the Word of God because, see, if somebody was just writing a story, they would have left this out. This man is challenging Jesus. It is very real and honest, and Jesus' response shows us it is okay to directly approach him with our issues, our questions, and even our doubts. Like I said, I've never had any doubts about God or Jesus. And that's the reason for that is because God has given me the gift of faith. And so I don't have doubts about things like that, but many people do. I have run into many. They struggle with doubt all their lives. Some have written major books on doubting God, and yet they believe in God. One man, C.S. Lewis, dealt with this issue very thoroughly. And in an unusual way, unusually gifted. Jesus responds to John with much compassion and grace, as if to say, I understand how you feel, John, so let me help you through it. This is not the only time Jesus responds compassionately and graciously to someone with doubts. He did it with others, and he's done it probably millions of times since then. Are you having doubts, dear friend? The first thing you need to do is take it to the Lord in prayer. And I would add to that, dear friend, I don't care what the situation is. I don't care how ugly, how big, how small, how nasty, how wicked, how evil, how unspeakable. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And you will be amazed at what God will do. John Wingrove said, Hail, my ever blessed Jesus, only thee I wish to sing. To my soul thy name is precious, thou my prophet, priest, and king. Oh, what mercy flows from heaven. Oh, what joy and happiness. Love I much, I'm much forgiven. I'm a miracle of your grace. Once with Adam's race in ruin, unconcerned in sin I lay, swift destruction still pursuing, till my Savior passed that way. Witness, all ye hosts of heaven, my Redeemer's tenderness. Love I much, I'm much forgiven, I'm a miracle of his grace. Shout, ye bright angelic choir, praise the Lamb of God enthroned above, while astonished I admire God's free grace and boundless love. That blessed moment I received him filled my soul with joy and peace. Love I much, I'm much forgiven. I'm a miracle of his grace. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, we pray for those who doubt. Lord, we pray for those who are in straits and they are having a hard time. Lord, help them to pray to you. Help them to believe again in the God who loved them, the God who created them, the God who redeemed them. And help them to walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, as the man prayed, help thou their unbelief. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Some of you are saying, well, I want to know such a Savior, who that if I falter and have failures and doubt, he will compassionately help me through it. So, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your salvation from sin, from the power of sin, and from the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. And so have I, and so has the Pope, all priests, and all pastors, and all evangelists. We all have failed God. We all have sinned against God. We're all in the same boat. That's why it's foolishness to be racist or prejudiced, or to think that you're better than others. You're not, and you never have been. You're a wicked, evil, ungodly sinner, just like the rest of us, whether you be a master or a slave, a boss or an employee, a billionaire or a pauper. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for our crimes, for our sin, as always. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Our bodies will die one day, as one preacher said to me last night, just keep on living, keep on living. His mother told him, just keep on living, you'll see. Everybody is going to die. Why do we die? Why do these multi-trillion dollar bodies die? We die because of one thing, sin, evil, wickedness, crimes that we have committed. We die. That's why we have funeral homes, funeral directors. That's why we have graveyards all over the place. We have neighborhoods for the living, graveyards for the dead. And after death comes hell if you don't trust Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ, yes, the meek and lowly one, yes, the loving one, the compassionate one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. Yes, the meek and lowly one, yes, the loving one, the compassionate one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us, and he wants to save us from hell, and he did everything he could possibly do to save us from hell. He died. He died. What else do you need? He died for you and for me. So understand, thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. Hell is bad news. If you die without Christ, you will go to hell. My job is to make sure you have your eternal life insurance, because you're going to die. Just like you have your health insurance in case you get sick, just like you have your car insurance in case you get into a car accident, just like you have life insurance when you die, you need eternal life insurance, because you will be catapulted out into eternity as soon as you die. Your soul will live somewhere forever. You need your eternal life insurance. And by the way, it is free because it was signed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have enough money. If you had all of the money at Fort Knox, you couldn't pay for this salvation. This is why Jesus said in the text that the poor had the gospel preached unto them. It was so shocking, something so valuable. The most valuable thing on earth, your soul being saved from hell, is preached freely to the poor. So hell, the torments of hell, the tragedy of hell, the weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth in hell, is bad news. Don't wait. Get it straight now. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's right. There's nothing hard about it. That's right. It is easy to be saved, contrary to what the devil and false preachers will tell you. You do not have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to be saved to the church or to the preacher. You don't even have to get baptized to get saved. Simply believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll be more than happy to lead you in prayer. You can do it by yourself, but I had someone to lead me because it was all new to me some 40 years ago. And just repeat after me, phrase by phrase, right where you are. Repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Repeat it after me. Mean it from your heart, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in my heart that he died for me. He paid my sin debt. He suffered and bled and died. He was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I understand that I deserve to go to hell because of my sins and crimes. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. I receive you, Lord Jesus, into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Ghost and help me to repent of all of my sins past. Help me to turn from all of my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friends, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.